You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to a brand new week of the Gym Class here in KGYM. 3 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock. Great to have you aboard on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join me coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Ben on the other side of the glass with you here today. We got a lot to cover. We'll talk Iowa and Iowa State basketball from the weekend, both picking up big victories. Iowa on the road at Minnesota, Iowa State at home against the Texas Longhorns. NFL Super Wild Card weekend still upon us. We've got the Cardinals and the Rams going at it for the third time tonight at SoFi in Los Angeles. We'll start things off at 6:30 on 106.3 FM. Everybody gets it at 8 o'clock. You've got the Cyclone Courtside Show coming your way tonight, beginning at 6:30 as well as both the Iowa State men and women with successful weekends, and that'll be on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. You can reach out to us on the text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well here on what we anticipate is going to be a busy Monday. We also talk, of course, about the news that broke out of the Iowa football camp yesterday. I don't know if it was yesterday's news, but it all came about yesterday. We will talk about that on the program today as well. First of all, a happy Martin Luther King Day to everyone out there, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And we look to the great teachings of MLK out there, not only today, but every day, certainly out there. And also need to talk about a terrific Big Ten basketball game. It may have been the game of the year so far in college basketball. Double overtime. Purdue holds off Illinois earlier on today at State Farm Center in Champaign. I still call it Assembly Hall in Champaign. But Purdue gets the win in double overtime. No Big Ten teams undefeated anymore. Seven games make that into the Big Ten season. 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. That is our text line. Phone line, same number, 319-366-1600. We're also going to talk to KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up in about a half hour or so. Bring in Mark Dukes on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And like most Mondays, very little to talk about, and then you sprinkle in other news that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Unfortunately, though, we start things off on a sad note, a couple of sad notes, one very local, and that is we lost a great one here in the metro area over the weekend. The patriarch, and I think it's pretty easy to say, the first family of girls basketball in the metro. But Bill Freeze passed away over the weekend at the age of 89. He would have celebrated his 90th birthday, I believe, next Saturday. And, of course, Bill is the father of Stacy Freeze, Marcia Freeze, and Brenda Freeze, as well as the other children of the Freeze family. And he passed away, as we mentioned, over the weekend. Brenda did coach Maryland yesterday to the game against Michigan. Michigan won that game yesterday in College Park. But Bill was would interact with us quite a bit over the years, Mark, ever since the girls were playing basketball. I've known Bill, and just a great man and a great family, and he will be missed.
Yeah, I think it's accurate to say that it is one of the first families of metro and area high school basketball. And those girls set so many records, achieved a lot of greatness in their athletic careers. And, sympathies to the Freeze family.
Yeah, and I think Brenda is back here in town now. with her family and the rest of the Freezes out there. And certainly, yes, our condolences going out to the entire Freeze family out there. 319-366-1600. Also, surprising news in the media world is Les Grobstein, a longtime reporter in the city of Chicago, passed away over the weekend. Very, very sad to see that out there. Let's start real quick, because I think if we start talking football, we're going to completely gloss over the basketball from the weekend. But big wins for Iowa and Iowa State, Mark, over the weekend. Let's start with Saturday with the with the Cyclones, as Gabe Kalscher, 22 points. You got your usual good game from Isaiah Brockington, and Robert Jones with 12 off the bench for Iowa State, as the Cyclones did not trail much, if at all, and defeated the Texas Longhorns at Hilton Coliseum in a game that Iowa State really needed to win on Saturday.
Yeah, much needed victory. Who's Bob Jones?
A golfer.
Who's Robert Jones? The guy who played very little but contributed greatly.
True. Yeah, very much so. 12 points coming off the bench, very seldom used until Saturday. But he came in, and that's the MO of this basketball team. Play very good defense. Brockington's going to give you what he can give you. It's usually good stuff. The young freshman point guard's going to do some good things, and then one person or two steps up, and that was exactly the recipe that Iowa State had on Saturday in that victory against Texas. So the Cyclones get their second win as far as the Big 12 is concerned. Thought that perhaps we might see Iowa and Iowa State into the top 25 this week as far as the AP basketball poll is concerned. Not the case, however. Iowa State in the rankings solidly, as the Cyclones remain at number 15 this week. New number one, Gonzaga, is your new number one. Iowa is the first team out. Hawkeyes, the worst. I mean, this is, people hate this, Mark. If you put the poll, extend the poll out, Iowa would be 26th. But they don't do it. They do the top 25. So there is no 26. So I was the first team that received votes.
We'll get a chance against Rutgers on the road this week to improve its lot. But the victory over Minnesota, a little dicey in the second half, but still a road win.
A lot dicey down the trail in the second half yesterday. Iowa jumped out to as much as a 21-point lead early in the second half, and I give the Gophers all kinds of credit because they did not quit. They've got a lot of spunk to that team, a couple of very good players. Battle is a very, very good player for Minnesota, and I think he's going to make an all-conference team by the time all the dust clears as far as the Big Ten is concerned. But Minnesota went zone, and Iowa went stagnant, and then Iowa stopped guarding the three. I thought Iowa, for 25 minutes, played as good a defense in that game as they have played all season against in the game against Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota's zone gave Iowa problems, and Fran McCaffrey acknowledged that. Uncharacteristically, didn't get the ball into the post along the baselines, and consequently allowed Minnesota to get back in the game. But Iowa did prevail by 9 or 10, and now 3-3 in the league.
Yeah, big one right there. Iowa 3-3. They go to Rutgers on Wednesday night. I believe that is a 7:30 start Central Time. It's an 8:30 start out east, as maybe that will help as far as keeping people away from the rack or whatever the heck they call it right now. But at any rate, Iowa, Rutgers, and then Penn State comes to town on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is a Saturday game this week at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Enjoy that one Saturday game for the season. 319-366-1600. You got the NFL. Hope to get to that coming up here in just a little bit. But 13 minutes past the hour of 3, already texts coming in on both sides of the aisle. And, Mark, we thought we thought we weren't going to talk a whole lot of Iowa football in the month of January, but here we are again. As reported yesterday in the Cedar Rapids Gazette by a friend of the show, John Steppe, the Iowa football team and Kirk Ferentz and the committee put together after all of the racial problems that flared up a year and a half ago or less than a year ago, whatever the case may be, that committee is going to be reorganized. And boy, you would have thought this is the sports version of politics here in the state of Iowa. Everybody is on their side of the aisle. It's either Iowa football, oh my goodness, clean house, or how can we do this and say this against Kirk Ferentz and Gary Barta and the rest of the Iowa football and Iowa athletic staff. So probably not going to change your mind as far as which camp you're in, but love to hear from you at 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. And, of course, all this coincides, of course, with Martin Luther King Jr. Day today.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts about this particular story that ran in the Gazette, co-authored by John Steppe and Vanessa Miller. We know Steppe from appearing on our show. I do not know Vanessa Miller, although I've read plenty of her work. According to the story, last Tuesday, Kirk Ferentz wrote an email to the 10-member group of football alumni who have worked since 2020 to improve the program's culture, so to speak. And in that email, Kirk Ferentz said, essentially, I'm giving thought to how we restructure the committee/board in a way that best serves our program moving forward. He said he is dissolving this particular committee of volunteers made up of former Iowa football players. David Porter, the head of the committee, had sent an email January 2nd, the day after Iowa's loss to Kentucky in the bowl game. He sent it to his fellow committee members, and in that chain, which I assume the Gazette acquired via Porter after Ferentz issued his email. I'm only assuming there. But Porter said, quote, Ferentz is loyal to a fault and will fall on the sword for his son and his staff because he thinks it's the right thing to do. I disagree. And he called for the ousting of Ferentz, the football staff, and athletic director Gary Barta. Scott, I've read this story four times to make sure I'm not missing something. Originally, I thought this is a shallow story. We're getting David Porter's opinion, and he provided emails, maybe not email responses, to the Gazette. What do the other committee members think? We don't know. Perhaps the Gazette tried to reach other committee members and was unsuccessful. But the story didn't say that. All you needed to do was say attempts to talk to other committee members were unsuccessful, or other committee members did not want to go on the record for comment. Well, I offer you Jordan Lomax's Twitter feed. Lomax, a member of that committee, he wrote yesterday, instead of being so quick to write an article, you guys should have reached out to the other committee members for their thoughts. This is a one-sided article and only David Porter's opinion, which I and others disagreed with. We didn't get this in the article. And I hate to throw shade on my former employer, but as a former reporter and editor, I must. There were holes in the story. Now, if Kirk Ferentz doesn't reestablish this committee, it's going to be a problem.
True.
I mean, David Porter said today in an interview, he was asked what recommendations have been implemented in the Iowa football program, and Porter said most, if not all. So what's the beef? Why do you want to fire Kirk Ferentz and Gary Barta and the whole staff?
319-366-1600. Imagine a lot of opinions out there, already opinions coming in as far as the text line is concerned. That's also our phone line at 319-366-1600. First off, I totally agree that if this committee completely goes away, that is not a good look for Iowa football. That is not the way that business should be conducted as far as the Iowa Athletic Department, the Iowa Football Department as well, and the Iowa football team. You've got to keep this, and you've got to do it in a reorganized fashion if that is the way that you are looking at it. I guess if you have 10 members of the committee, you probably have 10 different opinions as far as things are concerned. And, yes, David Porter obviously wants to clean house. Now
he was trying to convince his fellow members to get on board with him.
Yeah. And it obviously didn't take. It obviously didn't take. Jordan Lomax showing that as far as his Twitter is concerned. Whatever side you're on, I think everyone can agree it is a bad look as far as the Iowa football team. Once again, as far as the nation is concerned, because this has been picked up. I saw CBS Sports all over the board as far as different publications, different outlets are concerned. And it's just another brick as far as bad looks are concerned with the Iowa football team. And yes, things need to be reorganized. No, I don't think Kirk Ferentz, Brian Ferentz, the entire staff, and Gary Barta are all going to be leaving anytime soon. But you got to keep implementing things. You got to keep getting the input of a committee and taking what they are saying and using it to help as far as the overall football program is concerned. 319-366-1600. 6429 with a good text here. We need to hear from both sides as it is apparent that there was a difference of opinions on the committee. If anything, we need to know if the players feel like the culture around the program has changed since this is supposed to be about and for the players. Perfect. I like that. I like that. I think that is absolutely well put as far as that text is concerned. 3348, not a good look. Not the decision to restructure the committee, but in the way it was presented, both by the media and the coach Ferentz. Now we are in the national news again in a very negative way. As an alumni and supporter of the football program, I am embarrassed.
What are you embarrassed about? I don't think this is a bad look. Kirk Ferentz decided to dissolve the committee and restructure it. In his words, perhaps it was because of what David Porter said, but Kirk Ferentz said David Porter didn't address him specifically, didn't share this with him at all. Where the truth lies, who knows? But it's David Porter trying to convince his fellow committee members that Kirk Ferentz and the AD and the football staff have to go without specifying why. This is a committee to ensure the inclusive nature of things, culture, and diversity. It's not to break down whether Brian Ferentz should run a jet sweep on 4th and 1 instead. And Porter didn't have this team won 10 games and made the Big Ten championship. Okay? If there's problems in the culture and diversity still, we need to hear about it, David. But instead, again, in the interview this morning that he had, he said most of the recommendations have been implemented. So where are you coming from, dude?
319-366-1600 at 323 here on the Gym Class and KGYM as we take you through a Monday edition of the show.
We did not reach out to David Porter. Scott and I, as a text asks, I don't disagree with your assessment, but did you reach out to him? We did not. After hearing the interview this morning, I felt it would be another Robert T. Green interview, among other things. No, we did not reach out to David Porter.
Yeah. And again, I think this is totally on which side you are of the aisle you're on as far as this is concerned. Whether you are thinking that everything should go as far as the Iowa football program and the staff are concerned, or if this is just another situation where something is being written and it makes the Iowa football program look bad. 319-366-1600. As we come your way here in the Gym Class on KGYM. 1307 with a good question, I believe. If it was just Porter, why on earth would you disband the committee if the majority of the group disagreed with Porter? They're not disbanding the committee. That committee, that form, I guess, yes. But the committee is being reorganized for whatever that means. If it's going to include the same people, if it's going to include new people, if it's going to be less people, I guess that is only for the Iowa football department and the Iowa athletic department. They are the ones with the no as far as that is concerned.
Well, apparently this committee has been very fluid, and perhaps it didn't achieve what it set out to do in the first place, why it was organized. And this committee also includes such players as Christian Kirksey and Desmond King, Chick Iliasi, the former Prairie and University of Iowa player, the aforementioned Lomax, Aaron Campman, who rumored that he stepped away from the committee a while back, Matt Bowen, Jim Caldwell, Leroy Smith, Robert Gallery, Colin Cole. Not sure if all are still or were still members of the committee. And we don't know, aside from Lomax, what their opinions are and how they dovetailed or did not dovetail with David Porter's opinion.
Yeah, that is certainly the case. And that is a very good committee. You've got a lot of different opinions, a lot of different views, a lot of different cultures out there. And if they all continue to be on the committee, or if it might be a situation where you just bring new people on. As far maybe the folks in on the committee right now have all of their directives that they wanted to see taken care of for the most part, or all of them, who knows? And time to get some more people in there, fresh ideas, if you will.
Well, Mike Daniels was originally supposed to head up this committee, but he decided not to because of family situation and his business. And along came David Porter to head it up. So, again, we haven't, you know, and it is a problem for reporters if important subjects don't want to go on record. And it makes it appear that the story is more shallow than what it may be. But all we know is how Jordan Lomax feels about it. We have not heard from other members of the committee.
I look at it this way, Mark. If it's been now, 16 days since the playing of the Citrus Bowl, I do not believe that we have heard of anyone from the football team entering the transfer portal at this point. Am I correct in saying that?
Best recollection, no. In fact, many have decided to come back to the Iowa football program. I haven't broken down black and white, but nevertheless, they are, a half a dozen players coming back to the program. Dane Belton, a black player, decided to go to the NFL. I don't care whether he's black or white, he's a heck of a football player.
Tyler Linderbaum, same.
Tyler Linderbaum the same way.
Yeah. You would think if there was a widespread program-wide problem that almost 3 weeks after a bowl game, you would see many, many people, many, many athletes either coming out saying something or going into the portal.
Well, we've heard quite a bit in various news conferences that various players have been made available, Kevon Merriweather and on and on, and they've commented about the changes in the culture of the team since summer of 2020. Probably not perfect, likely is not perfect, but to a man, I think, that I recall, they said things have really improved.
Yeah. 38.95. Ask the current players. Less than five players have transferred, which is lowest in the Big Ten and top 25 recruiting this year, so it's not hurting recruiting. Some texts here that kind of getting on the Gazette a little. I'm not gonna do that, especially when we gotta, you know, it's like I said, it's the article. It was what it was, and you know, hopefully there'll be some more of it coming up. 319-366-1600 has come up on 3:30. Speaking of the Gazette, KJ Pilcher is going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. And we're going to talk some wrestling. Iowa with a win yesterday over the Fighting Illini of Illinois in Champaign as the Hawkeyes won 9 out of the 10 bouts yesterday in Champaign. They had just over 1,000 there for the Iowa-Illinois wrestling meet, which I thought was interesting, at Assembly Hall. That was it. They had about 14,000 more today for the Purdue basketball game against the Illini in the same venue, but I digress. 3:30. Going to throw it to you, Mark, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They are located on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. So what do we have today?
The Saturday game that we mentioned earlier between Iowa and Penn State will start at 3:30 p.m. And that's refreshing for a lot of people, I do know. It's Monday. It's Caitlin Clark, Big Ten Women's Basketball Player of the Week once again.
What?
Yeah. The Football Writers Association of America have named two Iowa Hawkeyes to its freshman All-America team. Offensive lineman Connor Colby out of Cedar Rapids and defensive lineman Lucas Van Ness make that team. And finally, our pick six results, Emil's Hideaway pick six, I should say, are in the books. There's one game left, tonight's Arizona and Los Angeles game, but Scott Unas has already wrapped things up. He is 5-0 through five games, cannot be beaten. Dave is 3-3. I am on lunch watch once again. But I was within 2 yards of Ben Roethlisberger's passing total. I get something for that? No.
Nothing.
Bob from Parnell does, though. Bob's going to dine once again at Emo's Hideaway. $25 gift card for picking Scott and riding his coattails.
Thank you. And I hope you enjoy that out there. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the gym class on KGYM. We're going to take a break at 3:32, and we'll come back on the other side of weather and the break and talk some wrestling with you, some college wrestling and high school wrestling with you on a Monday edition of the gym class here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
With a check of your weather first forecast, I'm meteorologist Nathan Santo Domingo. Mainly cloudy skies will remain in place today. A high temperature near 29 degrees. A bit breezy out of the northwest up to 25 miles an hour. As we go through the overnight, a bit of patchy fog will be possible, locally dense in spots, especially north of Highway 30. As we head into Tuesday afternoon, a bit warmer under partly cloudy skies. We're in the mid-30s. Warm up, though, is short-lived as Arctic air comes right back on Wednesday. That was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings and velvet-lined Hertine and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertine and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertine and Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 10 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
My wife and I trust Midwest One Bank with everything we do, both commercially and personally.
We're talking with Ryan Baker about Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One gave us our first business loan to purchase World of Bikes. They've been able to give us lines of credit, loans to make capital purchases and equipment, vehicles. We have all of our personal banking through Midwest One, so they really have kind of made the dreams of me and my family a reality and stood by me every time I needed them.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
3:35, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM for a Monday. John Bonenkamp joins us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk Hawkeye basketball and more with John on the Tuesday edition of the program. 319-366-1600. We've got for you tonight at 6:30, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, the Cyclone Courtside Show for you. 6:30 on 106.3 FM. We'll start off with the Rams and the Cardinals. They'll kick off at about 7:15, the final game of Super Wild Card Weekend. And everybody gets that at 8 o'clock on all three of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Recruiting note, this just coming down. I think it's Chuba Purdy. I could be wrong. The former quarterback, the brother of Brock Purdy, former Florida State quarterback, transferring to the Big Red, Nebraska. He will be in the quarterback derby for the Cornhuskers. And Scott Frost coming up this spring and fall. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Gym Class and KGYM. Mondays in the back half of the program, we talk wrestling with you. High school wrestling, a little college wrestling as well. KJ Pilcher of the Gazette joining us. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at thegazetteonline.com. And probably a guy that, as a Washington football team fan, probably not shedding a lot of tears last night. Were you, man?
No, it's a pretty good day when you see the Eagles and Cowboys both lose. And of course, as a parent, I kind of failed raising a Cowboys fan. So, I may have mocked my older daughter a little bit, when San Francisco ended up winning, especially the way the game ended.
Well, that's because she mocked you, if I recall, correct?
Yes. And, unfortunately, being a Washington football, team fan, mocking from Cowboys fans is happens about twice a year. So, I've taken my fair share.
Oh, man. Let's start off. We'll get to college here in a little bit, but the Jayhawk was Saturday, hosted by Jefferson, did get it in. Not all the teams were able to make it due to the snowstorm, but I know they pushed it back to a 12 o'clock start anyway. And still a good field over there on the west side. And this just in, Ben Keeter still really good. All right. KJ, you hear me? All right. Well, we'll get him back on the line here. Ben, do your magic over there. Well, he's there, Ben. Go ahead and just, I think the same problem we had last Monday. If you do that once again, we'll get her all taken care of here. Maybe it was because I said, Dallas, he was happy that Dallas got beat and Philadelphia got beat as a Washington fan. I don't know. KJ, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right, there we go. Very good. All right.
I wasn't sure. Things kind of went quiet after I talked about having to suffer mocking from Cowboys fans twice a year on the regular basis. So
the Dallas folks got and the Philadelphia folks got to the phone line right there. I had a, yeah. a great lead in that the Jayhawk was held Saturday, and Ben Keeter's still really good.
Yeah, that was very obvious. The Jefferson Jayhawk, one of those marquee tournaments, one of those pillar events of the season. And I tell you what, City High coming there, we knew that they're going to have some individuals that were going to just kind of be at the top of the podium when it was all said and done. And Ben Keeter, I tell you what, we talked about Wyatt Volker last week, and Ben Keeter, obviously, kind of in the same breath. If he's not one of the best all-around athletes and best wrestlers to come down the pike in a long time, I don't know who is. I tell you, I'm so impressed with what he does, you know, tournament match in, match out kind of thing. He's so dominant. It's really a man among boys. Really, when he steps on the mat, and you know, he just goes about his business. He's not boisterous or demonstrative. He goes out there and dominates. And you know, that was the case on Saturday, coming away with a 220-pound title. And of course, his efforts resulted in receiving the Outstanding Wrestler Award, and it was a pretty touching moment afterwards. The Jefferson staff and Christine, the AD, decided to honor Wyatt Schultz with naming the award after him, and Ben was the first recipient after the name change. And, of course, Wyatt's widow, Kirsten, was there, and his son, Grant, who's the AD at Cedar Rapids, Washington. They were there to present Ben Keeter, and I thought it was really interesting, and it says a lot about Ben Keeter that I asked him about, the award. He said, well, I have it sitting next to my Fargo plaque, which, you know, he just finished a runner-up in freestyle this last summer, so that says a lot. He understands kind of Wyatt's contribution to the sport, and it meant a lot to him and everybody there when that award was presented. So that was pretty cool. That tournament, weather kind of wreaked havoc with some of the fields this weekend. And that was one. I think they lost a couple teams, especially some of the Central Iowa teams, unfortunately. But City High came away with three champs. Pleasant Valley won the team race, and they had four champions. And Alburnett had a pretty good showing. They had a couple champions in Rowdy Neighbor and Carson Klosterman.
Lloyd Schaefer, yeah, that Rowdy Neighbor name, man, that's I love it. But
yeah, the
White Safer Invitational in Marion, West Delaware, not surprisingly winning that. But it just appeared that a half a dozen teams came away maybe feeling decent about their performances.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of interesting you mentioned West Delaware winning it. You know, they weren't supposed to be – they weren't scheduled for that tournament originally. They were supposed to go to Perry for an invitational there, but that got canceled. So a lot of adjustments and a lot of moves on the fly by teams and administrators and ADs to get teams somewhere to compete this weekend. And, of course, Marion – received both West Delaware and Linmar, which greatly improved the field. There, West Delaware ranked number one. And the thing that's interesting about West Delaware winning, they were one of four teams that were supposed to compete at Perry that went to other tournaments and won titles. The other teams, Spencer, Logan Magnolia, and Sergeant Bluff Luton, were supposed to be at Perry as well, and they went elsewhere and won titles like West Delaware. But, you know, Linmar, they came away second place. You know, they had three champions, including the Nocteborn brothers, Kane and Tate. Those two pinned their way through their brackets at 132 and 170. Of course, those two continue to dominate after placing fifth and winning a title a year ago. Linmar continues to climb dual-wise. They're up to sixth now in the Class 3A rankings. So you really start to see Linmar hit their stride, I think, as we approach the end of January, especially after a win last Thursday against Prairie. That was very dominant, and they have City High. Speaking of Ben Keeter, he'll be at Linmar this Thursday in another big duel. One of the individual matchups that really kind of stood out at Marion, at 126 pounds, Jaden Moore, who's ranked number one in Class 2A, faced Braden Park, number four in 3A, and Moore came away with an 8-6 victory in overtime. Interestingly, Moore didn't have a takedown during regulation. He had three reversals. And then his first takedown came with the decisive points and sudden victory. So kind of interesting there. And, of course, you got to see one of the guys, Coach Doug Schwab's really excited to get on campus. North Butler heavyweight Chet Buss, he's ranked number one in 1A, a two-time state champ, improved to 30-0. He pinned Luke Gaffney of Linmar, who's ranked third in 3A, and pinned his way through the tournament. So Chet Buss, one of those really talented heavyweights. You know, we've kind of seen him come through. You know, you have Austin Blythe, Tristan Wirfs, Chet Buss, you know, kind of cut out of the same mold a little bit, and he's going to be a good one up at UNI. You know, and you mentioned some of the teams probably pretty good. You know, Kennedy came away with fifth in a really tough competition there between West Delaware, Linmar. Mount Vernon was third with a champ in Clark Younggreen. Interestingly, with Younggreen, he's 28-1 at 220. His only loss came to Wyatt Volker. So he's putting together a really strong season for the Mustangs. And Williamsburg was fourth. Gavin Jensen winning the title there. Alex Cook of Kennedy won at 182 pounds. He improved to 16-2 and has moved up to seventh in the rankings. But it was a good weekend overall, especially when you think you know, the field at Solon, in addition to Marion and Jefferson, and then Solon adds Waverly Shell Rock to the mix.
Yeah, very true. KJ Pilcher joining us 3:47, and we talk wrestling on Mondays, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, and Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. coming up on the weekend. We'll get to that in a moment. But Thursday night, I know in the MVC, big matchup. City High and Linmar will go at it in a duel. That should be a honey.
Yeah, and that's the one thing with that is it's going to be really interesting because unless they move some guys around, I think you're going to get maybe some of the strengths of the lineup are going to miss each other a little bit. The one that really, really stands out as a possible marquee matchup is at 126 with Cale Kurtz of a City High and Braden Park at Linmar. Kurtz won the Jayhawk this last weekend. He kind of put up a similar performance as Keeter, having two pins and then a semifinal technical fall to boot. So very, very dominant there. Of course, Braden Park, I think everybody knows how strong that'll be. You know, you've got state champions like Keeter and Nakaborn. They'll be at separate weights, but it'll be interesting if maybe Corey Connell maybe sees what he can do at 220 and heavyweight, maybe put Keeter at heavyweight against Luke Gaffney, which would be two highly ranked individuals. So that's going to be one that really comes down to bonus points, I believe, between those two teams. Of course, if Linmar wrestles the way they did last Thursday against Prairie, it may not be as close. City High had a one-point duel with Prairie that Prairie won, but Linmar just wrestled lights out against the Hawks. And if they continue to wrestle that way and they wrestled well this Saturday, they're going to be a tough out for just about anybody. You see some of their middleweights starting to kind of catch up with those five-ranked guys that we talked about a lot last week. That definitely really kind of highlights the MVC slate on Thursday.
But highlights for the weekend, KJ, weather permitting.
Yeah, right. That's always, you always have to kind of keep that into consideration now, don't you? Especially after last weekend. I think the one that really kind of stands out right now, the Iowa Wrestling Coaches and Officials Association Girls State Tournament will be held Friday and Saturday at the Extreme Arena. This is the second year that it's been a two-day tournament. Second year it's been held down at Coralville. They did a fantastic job with it last year. And, this event has just boomed. Each year it's grown. Looking at the numbers from past years, it was 87, just 87 girls that first year. But, of course, weather kind of played a part. I think originally it was supposed to be at 120. Then in year two, when it was still at Waverly Shell Rock, there were 350 girls. Last year, it jumped up to 461, and now it's over 700.
Wow.
I think so much momentum has been gained right now, and this tournament's going to be just as strong as ever. It's going to be really exciting. We've seen a lot of programs really dedicate resources and an effort to create girls programs that are kind of independent of the boys programs. We've seen some teams and some duels between girls teams, and that's allowed for a lot of great opportunities. And you're going to see that talent really kind of come through. You know, there's going to be nationally ranked wrestlers there, like Iowa City West Janelle Avila, who was the state champ 2 years ago. Naomi Simon, who's a sophomore at Decorah, she won the title last year at this event, and she was ranked in the top 10, I believe, nationally. You know, Independence has Rachel Eddy, who's a returning state champion, who is ranked nationally as well. Ella Schmidt from Bettendorf, she's a part of the starting lineup or has been for the Bulldogs. on the boys' side, and she is an exceptional talent for Bettendorf there. And, of course, Waverly Shellrock, who has one of the top girls' programs around. You know, they've got the Diaz sisters, Madison and Ava Diaz, that are top-ranked girls. Other events that really kind of stand out, the City High has the Clyde Beam duels. I believe Linmar heads down to the Bob Luters Invitational in Clinton. The Ed Winger Classic in Central Iowa is one with some area teams, and then Alvernette will have their dual tournament this weekend as well.
Yeah. I know you got to get in and to the gym here in a moment, but in the last minute that we...
You're going to get me in trouble if you start talking basketball during a wrestling report. I'm gonna lose some wrestling friends if they find out I'm moonlighting as a basketball fan.
I did not say what you were going to go into the gym to watch. I just said you need to go into the gym. About in 45 seconds or so, surprised that Iowa pulled another red shirt over the weekend.
Yeah, that one, be anxious to ask some questions about with Colin Schriever. Austin DeSanto made the trip. He was with the team, obviously didn't wrestle. You know, obviously if he's done for the season, that's a move they had to make. But if he's not, there's going to be some questions on why and why then that they decided to do that. Maybe it was for depth purposes and to get some get a resume built for him in case he does have to go at the end of the season and DeSanto can't make the postseason. But if that's not the case, I'm not really sure. But, yeah, I was very, very surprised when I saw that Friday night.
Yeah. All right, man. Enjoy the wrestling this week, and we'll look forward to talking with you next Monday.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, KJ. KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, joining us on Mondays to talk high school wrestling with you. Brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this here on KGYM.
When it comes to choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, Blue is affordable. Blue is convenient. Blue is staying healthy. And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one plans including medical and drug coverage, plus health benefits like dental, vision, hearing, fitness, and more. Some available at $0 premiums. Compare plans at WellmarkAdvantage.com. Wellmark Advantage Health Plan is a PPO and an HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Wellmark Advantage Health Plan depends on contract renewal.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hey, like the lift? How about getting paid for it? Start as a loader now at Keurig Dr. Pepper and earn $19 an hour. After 90 days, they'll bump it up to $20 an hour. Not bad for keeping yourself in shape, huh? And this is a Monday through Friday gig, so hello weekends off. You get 1 week paid vacation your first year, a 401k, medical, dental, all that good stuff too. Become a loader now for Keurig Dr. Pepper. Just text KDP Jobs to 63879 for more info or go to KeurigDrPepper.com.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Gym Class on KGYM. Todd and Alex coming your way next. More about the Iowa football situation coming up with those folks here from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. 25-23 with a good text before we leave. We've learned new Kirk tends to be more susceptible to change. He needs to start thinking of what his legacy is going to be. And I think he has. I think that definitely has come down the road. We'll talk about the Cardinals and the Rams and the rest of the National Football League more in depth coming up tomorrow on the Gym Class. And John Bonacamp will join us as well to talk a little college hoops with us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And We've got the Rams and the Cardinals coming up tonight for you, and you are rooting for whom, Mark? Rams, I believe, correct?
That is correct. getting 4 points.
Because if not, then you owe us lunch and dinner. Or lunch and dinner and drinks.
Lunch equal a dinner, right?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll get Dave in on it and see how it it all develops. But, yeah, we'll see how that all comes around tonight. All right. Good show. Thanks for the interaction to everybody out there. Do appreciate it. And, Mark, have a very good night. We'll talk again tomorrow at 3.
That sounds great. We'll talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a good night. The sound.